What's up, weebs? Welcome back to another episode of Weebcast, and today's a special episode, and we'll get into that to a little bit. For right now, I need to tell you about today's sponsor, and that is Clark's, because today's episode is brought to you by Clark's. And Clark's story began almost 200 years ago when Cyrus and James Clark made a slipper from sheepskin. At the time, it was groundbreaking, a combination of invention and craftsmanship that remained at the heart of what Clark's does. And from the very beginning, Clark's has always thought differently. Brilliant ideas are what set Clark's apart. So, we're teaming up, us weebs and Clark's and Podgo, to bring you 30% off on select items, including on the iconic Clark's Desert Boot, by going to podgo.co/Clark's. And that's podgo.co/Clark's. Now, get ready for the episode and get ready for that classic hey-yo. All right, see you guys. Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another anime and manga show for all your weeb needs. And your host is back once again, C-Dub, a.k.a. Chris, a.k.a. Mori, a.k.a. The Independent Variable, a.k.a. has got a little bit of Taco Bell with him as a little snack as he gets home from work. And I hope you guys are having a lovely morning, afternoon, evening, or wherever you may be listening to the show right now. I'm glad to have you back on the show, and it's been a while. So if you don't jump out your seats, because you're going to hear another voice, and a voice that's, you know, if I do so say myself, as silky smooth as may be, you're going to hear a better voice today, because I have a guest. I know it's been, you know what, I think it might have been over a month, maybe a few months, since I've had a guest on the show. So if I'm a little excited, that's why. And I have the one and only, David Jeff. You know what? I almost fucked that up, as you can already hear. So I will let David introduce himself. David, thank you for coming on. I'm actually surprised that somebody would even want to come on this show.
But hey, man, you make a great show. I enjoy it. I think you do good work. I think you do the Lord Anime's work. Thanks for having me, C-Dub. I really appreciate it.
Hey, just thanks for coming on, David. I can tell we were kindred spirits. Because before recording, you talked a little bit about Yu Yu Hakusho, and I knew that we were going to connect on a deeper level here. So I just wanted to straight up ask, was Yu Yu Hakusho one of your earliest animes?
I have two that like really stand out in my mind. One was The Vision of Escaflowne.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
God, that's a callback if I remember.
It is a pull. It really is.
That's a deep cut.
I remember my sister's boyfriend brought over the entire VHS box set. And I was sick, so I had a fever dream like the entire time that I'm watching it. So not only do I have like this ultimate exposure of what anime could be, besides like the few episodes of Sailor Moon or Dragon Ball Z that I might have seen, this was like an actual story that I was able to latch onto. And then I'm hallucinating out of my mind because I have a fever of 102 or some nonsense. But yeah, I was just like, you've got dragons, you've got mechs, you've got magical girls. Like, what else do you need in a show?
It really does have a unique combination for a person who's just getting into anime. And like you said, it is more plot-driven than some of the other anime that was probably coming out around that time anyway. Yeah. So, but I think for an entry-level anime, that's a little highbrow, David. I'm just, you know, I'm kind of judging
that's
a little bit.
Totally valid. I think it set a standard, though.
It does.
Quality.
I was going to say, because now I'm afraid, because I always like to ask my guests that, because I try to gauge like how old they are. Obviously, this is a little weird with the female guests, but you know, when I ask them, you know, what was it, one of their first anime experiences, I can usually I try to gauge like how old they are. People are like, are they around my age, older, younger? But my first anime experience was
I think Saint Seiya might have been. I think, and it was a few episodes. I think it might have been the Poseidon arc. So, so it wasn't even like it was like truly in medias res with that one. And then, but I guess I would count either that one or Detective Conan, one of the two.
Okay.
Only because the, or I guess it was when it was on Toonami, it might have been what Case Closed. I think is the the dubbing they used for it. Yeah. So. I think I've seen more full episodes of Case Closed as a kid more than I saw Saint Seiya, but one's, you know, one's kind of like the Dragon Ball Z predecessor, and the other's just like a mystery Sherlock in a cute, moy little kid.
Yeah.
But,
little smug jerk.
Yeah, okay. And the thing is, people who don't know me, it's actually my still my favorite probably, I guess, manga, anime, if... It's my number one spot, I think. So I do give it a little too much leeway. I give it, I make a lot of excuses for it. So,
you know, and
prepare for that.
And if you go back to Escaflowne, it doesn't have a lot of problematic tones, right? Like, you know, you go back to some of those older shows, but it doesn't age well just in general. Every now and again, I think about at the end of the series, the main character, she's back on her home planet. It turns out it was all a dream or some nonsense or, you know, big spoilers. And, she is reliving the stuff that happened in episode one slightly. And then she goes, he's going to start counting. And he goes, see, it goes one, two, three. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the last. It's so bad. It's one of the instances that I think the movie, because it got like, it got the movie treatment where they tried to combine
all the episodes
together.
Yeah.
They did a good job in like giving you the tones, but also making it a little bit better. Just a little bit. Not great.
Not great, but kind of reminds me of Blue Gender, an anime I watched.
Oh my gosh.
Like last year for the first time. Because I was trying to watch, because I was rewatching Trigun, you know, the Cowboy Bebop.
Oh yeah, classic.
Classics. And I was like, man, oh, this Blue Gender, this was in the same era. Mm-hmm. Why have I never heard of this? It became quickly one of my favorite sci-fi animes of all ever. Mm-hmm. It has like tones of like, I could see where Attack on Titan got some of its themes. Like I think it's that. It was that good.
Mm-hmm.
Another deep cut for your weebs out there. Check out Blue Gen. Check out Escaflowne as well. Because if you haven't seen that, and you're a mecha type of guy or gal, I think you're gonna find gems within that within that show. Same thing with I think I just a week ago whatever I did SSS.Gridman. So I'm on a little mecha binge, so I might have to rewatch Escaflowne now to think about it.
I'm actually just starting the OG Mobile Suit Gundam. It's on Crunchyroll now. And
yes. I'm glad you brought that up.
It's different from what I was expecting, because it's it came up, what, 78 or so?
Yeah, Sunrise, 78, 77, yeah.
And so you think that you're going to get that kind of, like, over-the-top animated characters that just don't seem true to life, and then I'm sitting here like, oh shit, I've got like problems with these characters, and like these characters are developing and growing, and oh, it's just not fair to me. I was expecting like an easy time of watching some crap anime that someone else just rebranded, and no, it's so good. It's got development. It's got complex characters. There's a little cartooniness with like the villain Char.
I like that little cartoonish about him. At least he isn't 100% like that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he would have been a little bit of thorn in my side. But I'm glad you're digging it.
Oh yeah,
I'm glad you're digging it, because I'm glad they added the Crunchyroll, because I think people needed to watch that show and just kind of see where some of the modern tropes in today's shows. Pretty much get it from, at least one of the shows where they kind of get it from, especially the plot driven shows. But yeah, it's like, I think the animation, I think I've said it before on Twitter, the animation may turn people off. I don't know if it's on Blu-ray. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure that has the It has to be on Blu-ray set somewhere.
Somewhere out there, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it looks a little bit better on that. But I would say that I would implore, and I think you would probably say the same thing, David, but like, give it a chance. Mm-hmm. Maybe give it 4 or 5 episodes. Maybe less, to be honest. It got me in like episode 3, 4, to be honest. But
Every show that I watch, I always give it like a 3-episode rule. Like, if it doesn't grab me by episode 3, then it's probably not. I might give it 4. Because it's like, it's not right on the hook. Like, I might enjoy it. It's what I had to do for WandaVision.
Ooh,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
Go for it.
I was just gonna say WandaVision. Mm-hmm. Look, guys, you're on Weebcast. There's gonna be spoilers. You've been here for what? Almost. We're gonna be hitting 60 episodes in the next month or not. So you know how I do it here, but I won't talk about too much about WandaVision spoilers. I know the fandom, the MCU fandom, are ravenous. Probably more so, you know, Weebs, David. Yeah. I think we get a bad rap.
Oh, yeah.
On, you know, spoiling it. That I think there's a lot of worse fandoms out there that do that more than us. You know,
I would agree, because like if you go to Marvel's Facebook page right now, you will see spoilers for the last episode, and it barely aired 3 or 4 days ago now. Like, that's just not fair.
That's what I'm saying. Look, because I'm waiting on watching episode 9. I haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. I've seen maybe a few images, stills of it, but I was like, and that was just on Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't really follow a lot of, you know, Marvel fans on Twitter, so it's seeping into my world, mm-hmm. right? It's seeping into my anime world. So I was like, oh, let me chill out.
Yeah.
Let me be careful.
Yeah. No, and like Mandalorian, that one also was spoiled the morning of.
Yes.
It was like, oh.
Yeah, call me hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, I was so mad. I was so mad, dude. Oh, man.
But speaking of, before I get into another show, I do wanted to ask, mm-hmm. because you're a comic book man.
I am.
You're,
I have my,
you're culture.
I have my own podcast about it and everything.
You do. Can you tell the people about that real fast?
Happily. So I've got a couple podcasts. So I'm gonna shell those out on your show right now. The comic book one is called Comic Trades Monthly, and it's me and my friend Dane, and every month we sit down with a book, a volume, and we go over it, and we just say, like, here is some really great aspects of this story. Here's the development of a character. Here's some great writing. Here's some great art. And here's the moral of the story that we as individuals drew from it. And we talk about it for like an hour at least. And it's not just not just like Spider-Man's the coolest. We, you know, he's so rad. My wife hates that voice. Like, it's just the worst. So I do it whenever I can.
I love that. I love like it sounds like a Simpsons comic show.
Yeah,
you know, comic book owner. I love it.
So like we'll talk about Spider-Man, but we'll talk about like the implications of the weight that he's putting on himself and how most characters in any media needs a freaking therapist at least like once a week.
Oh my
for
God.
A while, at least once a week.
At least they should be getting discounts or rebates because they're going to be there for
yeah
for the rest of
yeah
the
they're going to hit their deductible like real quick. Some of my other shows, you know, your fans may enjoy Cosplay Stitch and Seam. That is a show that I am the everyman on. I don't do all the cosplay. I do some cosplay. But on there, I have V-Fire and Panin, and they are world-class cosplayers. Panin has competed in Japan for the world title.
That's incredible.
Right?
What the hell?
So, like, they'll start, like, talking about, like, inside techniques and whatnot. And I'm like, all right, let's, okay, you said macrame. What the hell is macrame? Like, come back.
Yes, like, really?
So that's my job is I'm the editor for that. And I just kind of, like, break it down. I'm like, okay, but, like, I get that. But I understood all those words separately. So can we help me out here? Like,
and the good burger moment.
Yeah, like, exactly. Exactly. And then finally my last show that I can shell right now is called Dungeons and Chill, and it's a real play D&D podcast with me and a bunch of friends where we're just playing D&D. It is all made up or homebrew, as the kids like to say. And
I think that's the cool word.
Yeah, and so like all of it's like stuff from my brain that I didn't steal from different pieces of other literature and comics and anime. So yeah, if you enjoy that kind of material, then D&D's there, cosplay there, and then comic books. And we do cover manga every so often. We covered Berserk not too long ago on Ooh. Comic Creeps Monthly.
Well, that's going to be my in a little bit. Mainly because I was never a big fan of Berserk. Mm-hmm. I know that it came back. The manga returned recently, I think. I think the author came back and so with some new chapters. And I know it's ending, or the ending's within sight.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Maybe this might be the perfect time to actually jump in. Real quick, you know, obviously the comic book thing, it's been a while since I've kept up with comic books, probably maybe been a year. I think the last comic books I was really heavily into was 2019 maybe, when I think, who was reviving the X-Men verse?
Jonathan Hickman.
Hickman, that's right. And I was like, oh, this seems interesting. Because X-Men were always my favorite mm-hmm. team in the comic book. So seeing them kind of brought back with different teams, with the Professor X being so weirdly sinister and everything. Mm-hmm. I never saw the conclusion at which I desperately need to, because I loved how they were handling the fan took the, oh my God. What's Fantastic Four's son's name?
Frank.
Nathan? Frank. No, not Nathan. Frank. Franklin Richard. Yeah, yeah. I was loving how they were handling him and his mutant allegiance or whatever. And how the other heroes were like, guys, you guys are being, even for X-Men, you guys are being really creepy. Now you got your own little world mm-hmm. now. So definitely, yeah. I've always been a big comic book fan, but it's always those dry spells where I just drop it for no good reason, and I always feel super bad.
You know, like manga reading, it's very expensive as a hobby, and it's space consuming. Yeah. I had to make a bookshelf. I like with my hands. I made a bookshelf from scratch, no design, no blueprint to hold my comics, and I still have them throughout the house. Like right now. Below my desk is a short box of comics. In my closet behind me, there is another set of comics. Upstairs in my bedroom on my nightstand is another collection of comics that I have yet to actually finish reading. So it's overwhelming, especially when they do like a big crossover. At least like when you're reading One Piece, though there's going to be 1,000 chapters, like you don't have to go and find, okay, but the crossover with Naruto, where the development of Luffy, what happened...
Imagine that though. Like, I've always wanted to, because I mean, there's always been a little bit of bleeding in with the industry, the manga. I've always wanted the comic book industry to take a little bit of notes from the Japanese manga industry, because I feel like there's something to learn there. I mean, and also vice versa as well. I mean, the manga industry isn't perfect as well. I think that's even flawed as well. And that's a whole other episode for another time. But imagine if there were. Because Shonen Jump, you know, the biggest, mm-hmm. You know, most popular conglomerate of titles. It'd be crazy if you saw, you know, somebody from Undead Luck or Mashal, One Piece, and just kind of hop in another manga. And you're like, what the? This is, or, you know, it's, you know, it would never happen because it's just not set up that way. But, God, I would love if they did, even if it was for fun. You know, I think it would be fun.
We see a JoJo show up in Dragon Ball Z. Like that'd be amazing. Yeah. Like
these are the things that we kind of think about. You know, it's like, you know, what if Goku just went up to Jotaro and was like, you know, what would their first words exchange, or what even words be exchanged?
Yada yada.
Yeah. Goku's like, oh, you're approaching.
Oh. He'd probably be like all friendly and like, hey, you want some fucking ramen or something? Yada yada.
Stan, is that food? man, that's the things are in my head in our head right now. I'm sure people are worried about us right now. But so,
yes,
David, let's. I want to talk about a little about a show here that I think isn't talked about enough, and I don't know. Like I said, I don't know too much about the manga. This is one of the few shows that I didn't actually jump into the manga. I've only know just about the anime, and people say it gets even crazier since that point, and that is Vinland Saga. And so anime from, I think, was it 2019, right? The summer? I think it was the summer. Was it a summer or fall?
It was a summer anime. Original summer anime. Run started in July 2019. You're absolutely right.
Okay, perfect. Okay. I'm sure, and your job is even harder because comics is even more convoluted with retcons and, retcons in general will messes up a lot of shit. So, it's trying to keep all this information in my head. It's hard for me, so I couldn't even deal with trying to do that with comic books. But ran for 24 episodes, and I was able to watch a good chunk of them over this past weekend. And I just wanted to ask you, what drew you into Vinland Saga?
Okay, so it's 2019. It's October 2019, right? And I'm doing a local anime convention here in Utah for Cosplay Sitchinsy. And they have the classic, like, green room set up where you can, like, sit down and you can watch, like, an episode of a show or something. And it's just too many people. Like, even before the pandemic, I've never been a big fan of large groups of people. So I go into the dark room where they've got, like, a list of anime that I've probably never seen, or I'm doing my best to try and get caught up on. And so they'll, like, play, like, the first two episodes. So, like, you've got an hour block of whatever. And I was like, Vinland Saga, whatever that is. Like, is that, like, Finland? Is it Newfoundland? Like, what is it? So I sit down, and it's got Vikings. It's got Leif Erikson. It's got violence. It's got compassion for your fellow man. There's a great line in the very first episode where the father sits down to his son Thorfinn, and he's like, no one is your enemy. No man can be your enemy. Only a king says otherwise. And it's just like, oh damn. Oh yeah.
Oh, that hit hard, yeah.
Because, like, it's dealing with slavery, and this isn't even people of color in slavery. This is just straight up people being slaves. And they're like, well, hey, we don't want the slave owner of this man to be, like, mad at us. We don't want him to be our enemy. It's like, no one's your enemy. You only believe that because that's what people in power tell you to believe. And I was just like, all right, I'm done. Like, I don't need to give it three episodes. I am here for the message of this show. and then I completely forgot about it. And I didn't watch it until this year or last year during the height of the lockdown. And I'm sitting inside. I was like, I need something to watch. And I found the entirety of the series on, I think it was Amazon. And I watched.
Yeah, that's where I watched it, actually. Yeah, I did. I watched it on Amazon.
I watched all 24 episodes in like a week. I just like, I was craving more. So I started finding the manga, and I was not disappointed at all.
And I think what you brought up in that first episode, it did hook me. I remember it hooking me. Even going back and rewatching some of those episodes. And we'll get into this later about the animation, but because Wit Studio, praise God to Wit Studio. You guys did it again. You did it again. You know, I thought, and to think that Attack on Titan, their first season, was their first official anime is wild to me. I didn't even know that. So that surprised me, and I was like, that's, you gotta be lying, right? There's no way. But yeah, the lines in anime, especially the one that you brought up. And because now do you think, when you said that, I was like, you know what? That really does kind of play into a lot of the later half of the season. I was just like, what? Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Thorfinn, you poor motherfucker.
Because, again, he needs a therapist at least once a week.
A therapist in a padded room, maybe with his hands tied, and I'm on the other side. And he can only hear my voice.
It's going to be okay, Thorfinn. It's going to be okay.
As he feral just growls at me. Right? I was like, and it's so impactful. For a show that only has 24 episodes, it's chock full of, it's, I'm trying to think of a few episodes that didn't really land with me, and I can maybe only think of maybe one or two, and that was early on. But after maybe episode five or six, I think it was episode six was the turning point, the big turning point, for Thorfinn, and we kind of just see him, you know, just not really willfully, but he just kind of like, you know what, I guess I'm just gonna roll with these dudes. Until I get strong enough, and I'm going to kick that dude's ass. So I guess I'm just, this is my life.
In episode six, that's when, like, he is picked up by, like, the random villagers, right? And you have this moment in your heart where, like, maybe this is the time where he learns the lesson of his father, that there is no such thing as an enemy. He gives up this plot of revenge to you know, find the person who kills his father, and he's traveling with him. That's the crazy thing. He's traveling with the guy who's killed his father, and he's rolling with him, like you said.
Wild.
And it comes down to this decision of, like, does he stay with this family, or does he continue down this path of vengeance and hate, and, like, allow himself to be destroyed by this one goal. I can see what you're saying. Like, that would be the episode that would hook me so hardcore.
And the thing is, like you just said, that one goal literally almost it destroys him. It just takes away at him, physically and mentally. Really. Really physically, because, like, I mean, how many times does this dude try to battle with Askeladd?
Yeah, which is basically just Alexander. Like, it's the Norse way you would say Alexander.
Oh, okay. Well, look, you learn everything. You learn something every day here, Weebs. And actually, useful facts, not the facts I use. You know, I really enjoyed Askeladd's character. That might be my favorite, as I say that, like, eight characters kind of come to mind. I'm like, but I mean, maybe I should ask you give a little, because who would you say was your favorite character?
Thorkell, the oafish, the oafish Norseman who's teaming up with the English, and just like, I just want to fight some people, man. Like, just like, he's big himbo energy, right? Like, just.
Oh my god, the best Nordic himbo you could find.
Oh man, and like, when he comes up against Thorfinn, and Thorfinn uses, like, his sneaky fast ability to get onto the bridge to fight Thorkell, he's like, alright, hell yeah, let's do this, man! And like, once he breaks Thorfinn's arm, he's like, you know, it's not just not that fight anymore, you know?
Yeah, you know what, I think I'm
gonna bounce. Alright, have fun, you guys, bye! And like, he leaves the English army just to kind of like, piss off and do his own thing. How is that not, like, just like the most honorable and like fun loving guy ever? And like, Akio Atsuko does a great job of like giving him just this big, like, from your chest kind of speaking character. Love him so much. Great voice actor.
Okay, yeah, that VA is, yeah, I'm glad you brought up the name, because that I love the sound of people. Like, he sounded impactful whenever he was on screen. It matched with his build, the way he would just swing a pointed log around, which I must say, do you really need an army if you can pick up logs and name ships? You know, I'm just saying, but Jesus Christ.
Like, oh man. And just, they show that the characters are eating food all the time. And it's one of those things like, yeah, no, that makes 100% sense that this guy is just burning calories left and right, and he needs all the meat he can get. Feed this boy get this boy some milk.
He has to be like almost 80. Yeah. Like, it's because there were some tall guys in there, and they have to be 6 foot. So he had like, he had inches. He had feet over these grown men. So, and I was kind of, now that I think about it, and we were kind of talking about how even you, when you watched it, when it was coming out, that you kind of just dropped it, right? Yeah. And I was trying to think what other shows came, you know, around that time. I remember some of the big, at least just the big ones. Dr. Stone, the first season was premiered, right? That, was it Fire Force?
Did Overlord come out about the same time?
I think Overlord came out that same year as well. Astro Lost in Space. I know there had to be some other other ones. They're just not on the tip of my tongue. Obviously, One Piece was still going. I think Boruto. No, was that? That was like, that was that Boruto same year. Might have been. But yeah, I mean, there were some other big shows that came out that same year. And it just, it did feel like it kind of got swallowed just a little bit. Which is kind of unfair because what now looking in 2021, people are kind of feverish for a second season. And when after rewatching some of these episodes, I can't really blame them because I really want to know what crazy stuff is going to happen after that. Because, and people were saying like, this is like, oh, this is just, oh God, this is just set up. There's so much that happens more. Like, what could be possibly worse for my boy Thorfinn? Like, what could possibly happen?
What blows my freaking mind about this, this happens both in the anime and in the manga, but after like 20 issues and at the end of 24 episodes, they just say, that's the end of the prologue. That's the prologue. The entire first season is the prologue, my dude. That's it.
Oh my God. You know what? Wit Studio, you guys gonna please? I knew you listened to the show, obviously. But come on, just do it for us. Do it for at least for Dave.
Please.
You know, at least
closure.
You know, look, we don't get a lot of good things in life if you watch it. You know, Weaves don't really have a great fate in life, you know. But speaking of fate, watch Fate as well. But wait, just do it, please. Or you know what? Since MAPPA wants to take every anime, just get MAPPA to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
Why not?
Just, I mean, if they could do what they're doing. They're doing Attack on Titan right now. They're doing Jujutsu Kaisen. Are you watching?
I'm not. I've heard a lot of good things about it lately.
I think you'd like it, to be honest. Sorry. I think you'd like it. Yeah. Are you kind of a? Did you like Bleach?
I like the idea of Bleach. I was watching it when it was coming out, so I got stuck in a lot of those filler arcs, and I just lost interest. I couldn't go back, man. I couldn't.
I can't blame you. I can't. Look, I'm one of those Bleach, synthesizers. Yeah. You know, I'm apologist. I'm sorry. That's probably the right word. I make a lot of excuses for Bleach as well. I think it's the underrated one of the big three, but you know. And the thing is, I think Jujutsu Kaisen does a lot of things like Bleach. What Bleach wanted to do, just does it a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe want to try that out. But back to Demon Saga. I like how, from what I know, my limited knowledge on it. So these characters are based off of historical figures, right?
Very apocryphal is the word that I believe is thrown around a lot.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. Because I don't really know. I was wondering, does like these historical figures and their real world, I guess you want to call it adventures, does it play into any of the mysticism in this show? Like, is there anything parallel between the two entities? Or
so like one, we meet Leif Erikson, and in the very first episode, this isn't a major spoiler, but he's like, I found New Finland. And we basically find out that he landed in Canada, modern day Canada. And it's just like, I found this place and I think it's heaven because everything was perfect. And we also get to meet the king and the king and the prince. And I can't remember their names off the top of my head.
Oh my God. It was Prince Canute.
Yes.
I don't know. Is that how you pronounce it? And then the king was
Swain?
Swain? That's probably
Right, it's weird when you take a Germanic name and then throw it in Japan and then have an English-speaking audience try and like pick up on it from there.
I was going to say, what kind of blender of trying to pronounce it? I went into it.
So like King Swain and Prince Canute, they are notable historical figures where they were trying to take over England and trying to like take it from the people who were residing there, which were kind of descendants of the Roman Empire. So there is like flavoring or seasonings of historical fact, but no one really talks about whether or not Prince Canute was kind of a femboy, because that's like the essence that they're giving you of this character. Is like,
I was gonna say so. I was just gonna say, was that something of the real Canutes? Like, what were they trying to say friends. You know, I almost started sick. You know.
Yeah.
That's off the record, production team.
Yeah. So I think what it is it's, did you ever watch Black Sails? That was like the, so like, yes. It was the prequel to Treasure Island. And we got to see like Billy Bones become Billy Bones. I think this is the same.
Yeah.
We're going to see Prince Canute become the tactical genius that we know we have known him as. Okay. I think because he's so withdrawn and he's so scared of everything, I think what's happening, and by the end of the first season, again, spoilers, we get to see him start to like speak for himself once he has seen death happen to the people closest to him, where he's gonna become this badass by the end of probably the next season, in my opinion.
I hope so. I really hope so. Because, and I'm glad you brought up Canute, because he is one of my, probably right behind Askeladd, because as one of my favorite characters, I just love seeing his rise and his transformation. And it's weird because he transformed within like, what, 3 episodes maybe? Like, it wasn't a drawn, I mean, it felt like it was pretty well developed. And the fact that it only happened like in just a few episodes was actually a testament to the series itself, the production team, and Wiz Dito for putting that together. Because I was like, okay, you're kind of a badass, and you didn't even flinch to the himbo himself or almost punch. Like, that was,
I think, what it comes down to as well is that like, it's great build up to it, because we can see that Askeladd is pushing him the entire time. You know, he's like, you're in my charge. You know, your king has hired me to protect you. I'm just a mercenary. And I secretly hate you, but I want you to become better than what you are right now. Right. And so we see the prodding, we see the tears in the fabric, if you will. So we can see slightly what could be on the other side. And then when we have that 3-episode turnover with Canute, and it's not jarring. It doesn't feel like it's out of left field.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. And I love the switch, because I guess was when Askeladd just straight up set up a little trap for Lord, I don't want to call him his retainer. I guess it was kind of like his advisor. His right hand. I know it starts with an R. And I'm not going to even try to butcher it. But yeah, his killing, it just felt in that scene where Canute kind of like in that dreamscape, and he's kind of like talking to him. And I was like, that, it was honestly top 3 favorite moments. Just the way it was animated. It touched. It kind of touched me a little bit, because I was like, I've only known these characters for like 2 episodes. And I was like, this is a little heart-wrenching, more than it really should be.
Yeah, no, I get you. And like, that's the powerfulness of this writing, is that you get to see these characters, and they're not so easily stereotyped, in the sense of like, all right, so this is the drunk guy, this is the violent one, and this is the one who wants to sleep with all the women, you know? It's
exactly
they're in-depth characters that you connect to. You get to meet Thor, the father figure, from the first few episodes, and again, spoilers, he fucking eats it. Like he eats it in the first 5 minutes of the 3rd episode or so.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's
and,
pretty early.
Like, you are so underprepared for the connection that you had with these characters. It feels, I want to make a comparison to Game of Thrones, where it has like so many characters to keep track of, but this does such a great job of introducing these characters over time, where Thorkell, he's an enemy, and he's so visually iconic, it's easy to point him out, especially because it's all just blonde hair, blue-eyed white guys, right?
Yeah.
But in the end, you're like, oh, that's Thorkell. I recognize Thorkell at this point. I'm here for Thorkell.
Oh, and trust me, so am I. And the Game of Thrones kind of comparison really does kind of work, now that I'm thinking about it. And I think it kind of highlights the things that why people liked Game of Thrones, because people's morality, they were all shades of gray, and it wasn't really black and white. It really makes sense in the sense of Vikings, because you know their allegiance is to you know, to anyone, and usually, unless they had a, unless, you know, you're under a king or something of some sort. But like, it's, there's really no good or bad. Just good or is like whichever you want in that moment. Which brings up, I'll share one of my favorite I think it's my favorite episode of the show. And it's the one where, so I think they just, I think it's Askeladd and his crew. I think they just hit the blizzard, right? And I think they're getting ready to, I think the Canute's right hand was like, oh, we should turn back. Askeladd's like, no, it's all right, it's all right. We, it's what we do best. We pillage. So they're going right into that village, right? And I'm like, oh, great. And then when I see it shift to this family, you know, just chilling, you know, talking about Christianity, eating, you know, I was like, please, oh God, please. And it's.
What's up? Hey, you reached the end of part one of my awesome conversation with David Jeffers. You want to hear more about my favorite episode of the Vinland Saga? Do you want to hear how me and David would fix the MCU? Do you just want to talk, or do you want to hear more about how we talk about Disney, Deadpool, and Fox, and other comic book related stuff? Well, that there's all that and even more in the next part of our conversation, which you can get, which will be coming next Friday. Have a good weekend, and we're outie. 3000. Bye-bye.